Blog Talk Radio.
Coming out of Exodus, and we are going to be talking about the tabernacle of God. And we'll be out of Exodus chapter 27, verses 1 through chapter 28, verse 43. We will also be coming out of Psalms chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Finishing up Matthew chapter 29, and it is awesome. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 51. So tomorrow we'll be starting in a new chapter of Exodus, as well as a new chapter of Matthew. So let's get started in our word. Father God in heaven, we are so thankful and grateful and so very blessed that you woke us up this morning, that you started us on our way, that you gave us a brand new day, Father. We can only say thank you for giving us an opportunity for a do-over. Lord, I pray that today be better than yesterday. And Lord, I pray continually for the homeless and those that feel helpless. Lord God, I ask you to give them shelter and give them strength to know that you are God, and your word tells us that you never will leave us or forsake us, and that you are with them. Lord God, I ask you to please increase as I decrease, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for Lord God, you are my strength. And you are my Redeemer. And I love you and I appreciate you. And I appreciate the opportunity to read your word to those that are shut in, those that are sick, those that just need a word from God. Lord God, I pray that this word permeates a mind, body, and a spirit to know that you, Lord God, have given us a blueprint, a biblical instruction before leaving earth, that we will know that it is from you. Lord God, I thank you for your Son and Savior Jesus Christ. For I know that he is coming back and that no one knows the day, the time, or the hour of his return. I pray, Lord God, that I'm ready and that those that are listening now or later, that all those that are people of faith and righteousness and love of you, who know that you are not a fantasy, that you are not just something that we believe in, but something that we know because we touch and know and feel your presence. Lord God, I thank you this morning. I thank you today. In your will, I will thank you tomorrow. for I am grateful to be a child of God and to be used by you to teach and preach your word. In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this word. May it be a balm in Gilead over someone's soul. In Jesus' name, I pray, believing and trusting that this word is true. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the center of my life, who gave me breath in my body. For those that are just joining this ministry, there were points in times where I could barely speak. I had a nodule on my larynx. And I can only give my testimony to tell you that when I went back to the doctor, because I prayed, I didn't want to have surgery. I didn't want to be not be able to sing, not be able to talk, not be able to do my assignments for God. And I prayed, and I believed that God would take the nodule off, and he did. When I went back to the doctor, they couldn't find it. It was gone. So I know what God can do. I know that he is in charge. I know, hallelujah, that he is a healer. I know that he is a provider. I know that he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. Because God so loved this wicked, wicked world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So to all the naysayers out there, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father Almighty. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. And yes, I believe that there's a heaven, and I believe there's hell. And I believe my Savior is coming back because his word says so. You know, I am a channel surfer sometimes, and just happened to heard someone talking about our fantasy world. I don't believe God is a fantasy. All I can say is, historically speaking, to the naysayers out there, all you have to do is ask an archaeologist if there was a great flood, and he'll tell you, yes, there was. Real. Don't let anybody test your faith to make you believe that this word is not true, that it's not some fantasy. Because I know that what God says is going to happen. And I believe that the word that was given to me this morning, be ready for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So for the atheists and agnostics and those that laugh at us as Christians, just be ready. And when he comes, to believe, it'll be too late. That's my commentary for this morning. And I still say to you all, please continue to pray for the nations of this world. Pray for our brothers and sisters in countries where they cannot read this word and where they're persecuted for even hearing it. We have to pray because we know that our Savior is coming back, and we know that we must be ready. So let's get into our word, and we are in, and now we're getting ready to talk about the creation of the tabernacle of meeting, how it should be built. You know, God gave exact specifications, and when God gives a specification, you got to do exactly what you're told. And this is the specifications. It says, you shall make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make its horns on its 4 corners, and horns shall be of 1 piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. Also, you shall make its pans to receive its ashes, and its shovels and its basins and its forks and its fire pans. You shall make all its utensils of bronze. You shall make a grate for it, a network and of bronze. And of the network you shall make four bronze rings at its four corners. You shall put it under the rim of the altar beneath, that the network may be midway up the altar. And you shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. The poles shall be put in the rings, and the poles shall be on two sides of the altar to bear it. You shall make it hollow with boards, as it was shown you on the mountain. So shall they make it. You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side there shall be hangings for the court made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long for one side, and its 20 pillars, and their 20 sockets shall be bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands shall be silver. Likewise, along the length of the north pole there shall be hangings 100 cubits long with its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of bronze, and the hooks of the pillars and their bands of silver. And along the width of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits with their 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. The width of the court on each side shall be 50 cubits. The hangings on one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. And on the other side shall be hangings of 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. For the gate of the court there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, woven of purple, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen made by a weaver. It shall have 4 pillars and 4 sockets. All the pillars around the court shall have bands of silver. Their hooks shall be of silver and their sockets of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, the width 50 throughout, the height 5 cubits, made of fine woven linen and its sockets of bronze. All the utensils of the tabernacle, of all its service, all its pegs, and all the pegs of the court shall be of bronze. And you shall command the children of Israel, they bring you pure oil and pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continuously in the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. Now remember, Aaron is a Levi. He's from the tribe of Levi, just like Moses. And they are the priestly class. They are the ones that did not have, they don't get land. Their stuff is given to them because they are the ones that God has chosen for special assignments. So they can't be like everybody else. And they are the only ones that can go into certain places within the tabernacle. And so it's very, very serious, this whole thing. Give you an understanding. A cubit, unit of linear measure used by many ancient and medieval people. The cubit generally taken as equal to 18 inches, was based on the length of an arm from elbow to tip of the fingers. Fingers was considered the equivalent of 6 palms and 2 spans. So we're talking 18 inches for a cubic. So when they're talking, you know, it has to be so many cubics long and so many cubics deep and so many cubics wide. So that's what a cubic is. It's 18 inches in diameter for one cubic, 300 cubics in feet, and we're going to look that up. one cubic equals 45, and this is in, let me get it here, 4 cubics equals 6 feet. So 4 cubics is 6 feet. So if 4 cubics is 6 feet, and we're talking 100 cubics, that's a lot. That's very, very tall. Very, very wide. It goes differently. And so I'm like, okay, it says 400 cubics to feet equals 600. So that's just kind of a FYI when it comes to cubics, because we're going to see a lot of cubics in Exodus and in different parts of the Bible as they talk about measurement. And we're going to go into chapter 28. Of Exodus, and it says, now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ishtamar, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, and he may minister to me as priest. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. They shall take the gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen, and they shall make an ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, fully worked. It shall have two shoulder straps joined at its two edges, and so it shall be joined together. And the intricately woven band of the ephod, which is on it, shall be of the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. Then you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and six names on the other stone in order of their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engraving of a signet. You shall engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in setting of gold, and you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. You shall also make settings of gold, and you shall make two chains of pure gold like braided cords, and fasten the braided chains to the setting. You shall make the breastplate of judgment artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. You shall make it. It shall be doubled into a square. A span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. And you shall put settings of stones in it, four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, and an emerald. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a jacinth, agate, and amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, onyx, and jasper. They shall be set in gold settings, and the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of the signet, each one with its own name. They shall be according to the 12 tribes. So you got the tribes' names on your shoulders, and you have them on your breastplate. You shall make chains for the breastplate at the end like braided cords of pure gold. And you shall make two rings of gold for the breastplate and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. Then you shall put the two braided chains of gold in the two rings, which are on the ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of the two braided chains you shall fasten to the settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. You shall make two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which is on the inner side of the ephod, and two other rings of gold you shall make and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward its front right at the seam above the intricately woven band of the ephod. They shall bind the breastplate by means of the rings to the rings of the ephod using a blue cord so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod so that the breastplate does not come loose ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continuously. And you shall put it in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart. Then when he goes in before the Lord, so Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continuously. You shall make the robe of the ephod all blue. There shall be an opening for his head. In the middle of it, it shall have a woven band all around its opening, like the opening in a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all around, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe all around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it the engravings of the signet, holiness to the Lord. And you shall put it on a blue cord, that it may be in the turban, be on the turban. It shall be on the front of the turban, so it shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. You shall skillfully wove the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash of woven work. For Aaron's son, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. So you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron, on his sons, when they come into the tabernacle meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. Wow. God is specific. He told exactly, this is how it's to be made. These are the colors. This is how it's supposed to go on. He did not play. He told you the exact measurement of everything. You know, when God gives an assignment, he gives an assignment, and you know exactly what you are to do. Because, again, God does not play. Psalms chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. That's a highlightable. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. If you are petitioning God for healing, believe it. Coming. If you are petitioning God for your children's salvation, it's coming. Because his word says, may he grant you according to your heart desire and fulfill all your purpose. God knows our purpose. He knows what we can and cannot do. Just as he knew that the children of Israel were his children and that he had put them, made them special in his heart. And he put every one of their names. Think about that. Each one of those sons had a stone with his name on it. Each one of us has something with our name on it. God knows our name. He calls us friends. He calls us his children. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of God. And this is a proverb, chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. We got to keep wisdom. We got to call wisdom our sister. We got to call standing our nearest kin, and we got to keep them with us at all times to keep us from immorality and seduction and flattering words. Be careful of folks that all they do, you know, got something to say. Talk about you like a dog, but then when they see you, they got flattering words. You know, God will show you the fake and he will show you the phony. And we just got to say, Lord, I give them to you. Forgive, shake it off, and keep on moving. I have a few life lessons for our Old Testament words. And it says this in Exodus 28 and 3. Life lessons. So you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. Make wisdom your sister, that they may make Aaron's garments. God commissions and equips for his service not merely religious individuals such as pastors and evangelists, but men and women whom he gifts in many ways. If you answer phones, do so as unto the Lord. Everything we do it unto the Lord. If you are evangelist, evangelize unto the Lord. If you are teacher, teach unto the Lord. If you are caregiver, caregive unto the Lord. We got to do whatever we do it unto the Lord. And we say daily, God willing, I will be with you tomorrow. God willing, my car will start. God willing, I will get to my destination safely. We got to give it all to God. And the word says, the word that we are coming out of, for those that are just joining this moving forward experience, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of New King James, because that just happens to be my preference. I like New King James. I am not a big fan of thems and thous. I like them and they. So bear with me, you know, my King James readers. You know, there will be occasion where I will come out of King James, especially when it comes to certain scriptures that are memory scriptures that we have learned since we were children. You know, the Lord's Prayer. King James is where I would come from, 23rd Psalm. You know, different scriptures are just scriptures that we learned as King James readers, and so I will do those as King James, but I still will also give New King James too. So this is a life lesson from chapter 20, verses 1 through 5 of the book of Psalms, and it says, one thing you can be certain in any time of trouble, suffering, hardship, difficulty, pain, or tragedy, the Lord is with you. Time and again, in His word, the Lord assures you of His presence. The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He grant you according to your heart's desire, fulfill all your purposes. Psalms 20, 1 through 4, which we just read. Do not be afraid of Him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from His hand. Jeremiah 42 and 11. Be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you. Haggai 2 and 4. Jesus said the same thing to His disciples. I am with you always. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. The Apostle Paul considered this truth and asked, if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 and 31. Don't answer his question too quickly, for the truth is, many people can rise up against us. They can cheat us, harass us, persecute us, insult us, physically injure us, even kill us. But here's the point. In the end, they can never win. Can I say it again? In the end, they can never win. That is why Jesus could say, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. Luke chapter 21, verse 16 through 18. If you belong to God, you are on the winning side, period. So for all the naysayers out there calling us crazy, calling us kooky, calling us people that believe in fantasy, you know what? All I say to you, if you belong to God, you are on the winning side. So you can keep talking about us, keep vilifying us, but I'm going to still be a believer in the Most High God. But I know where He's bought me from. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say in Charles Stanley, he said, when rough times come, immerse yourself in God's word. Read His promises to you, His beloved children. Read about His power, His strength, His wisdom, and His love. Read how He has helped countless men and women through the ages as they trusted in Him. Read about His saving, delivering, and restoring power. The more you read and study God's word, the stronger your faith will grow. Can we say hallelujah moving forward, family? For we read the word of God. We study the word of God every day. We know this word. We are learning this word. I ask God to bring every scripture I read to my remembrance when I need it, for it is in my arsenal of praise. Hallelujah. And it goes on to tell us, the more you take courage in the Lord's presence with you, the more secure you will feel, even in the most troubling of times and the most trying of circumstances. The Lord alone is your security every moment of your life. Can we say together, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Most High, for you are with us wherever we go. And I know, Dr. Stanley, you know, the word that God always has given me, you know, is my my stand on word. And, you know, we're going to go there just real quick. This is what I stand on. When I think about God, I stand on Joshua chapter 1. And when we go to chapter 1 of Joshua, the Lord tells us all through the word to be strong and courageous, to not walk in fear. God is there with him. God says, I am with you. And it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. That's one of my stand on words. And number 6, be strong and of good courage, for you shall divide an inheritance. But understand, he's talking to the children of Israel for the inheritance. But then when he goes down to verse number 9, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to us. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's our word. We stand on it. I love it. 5 and 9 are my stand on scriptures. When I'm going through, I remember that word of God tells me that no man shall be able to stand before me all the days of my life. As he was with Moses, he would be with me, that he will not leave me nor forsake me. I make it personal, you know, and I tell God, you told me in your word that you will not leave me. You said you will not forsake me, and I believe in you. And then you told me, have you not commanded me to be strong and of good courage and not to be afraid? So the Lord has told me and told you not to walk in fear, not be dismayed, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. So wherever you go, when you walk into the grocery store, when you're getting in your car to go across town, when you're on the bus, when you're on the train, when you're in a plane, God is with you. He has said, don't be afraid. And I'm going to walk in faith that the word of God is true. How can I feel secure in the Lord during troubled times? Because he told me he's with me. Because he told me to be strong and courageous. He told me that he would never leave me or forsake me. We got to pray the word. So when you pray, pray the word of God. Find that scripture that touches you, that scripture that is your foundation. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 9, are they are my stand on word. When I'm going through, I pray those words. I believe those words. I trust in those words. Our God is stronger than anything. And he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He has commanded us to be strong and courageous. Can you imagine leaving everything and going somewhere where you don't know what you're going to do? How are you going to survive? But God does. And when God says pack up and go, it is hard to leave your stuff. It is hard to leave your family, but when God says pack up and go, he will open doors. He will have everything you need and more than you could ever ask for. Or think or imagine. We're going to trust God today. And as we continue, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 through verse 51, which is the last part of Matthew chapter 24, but it is our word for today. And that is that we got to be ready. We have to be ready. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We got to remember that. You know, I woke up one morning, and it was, you know, one of those first Tuesdays where you hear the siren going off, and you think in your mind, what if that is Jesus coming? And the trumpets are sounding. Am I ready? Am I proud of what I've done? Am I secure? We got to start thinking that way. That any day he could come And the question is, are you spiritually ready? Are you physically ready? Are you mentally ready? So many folks trying to force his return and they don't understand. If you haven't read Revelations, you want to put it off. Or if you have read Revelations, you want to put that off for a little while. Pray that you are ready, because it is not going to be easy. He already told you how he's coming back. And he already told you where not to go, where not to look, because he's not there. Chapter 24 is a inkling of what to do and where not to do and who are out there dressed in sheep's clothing. Are those wolves, the proper liars, that there would be many false prophets? And this is what the word says in verse 29 of chapter 24 of the book of Matthew. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Did it say he's going to be over in the desert? Nope. Did it say he's going to be on the east side? East side. Nope. Did it say he's going to be on the west side? West side. Nope. He's not going to be on the north side or the south side. He is coming. How does the word tell us? The Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So when you hear the prophet liars telling you Jesus is coming back on March the 4th, 2021, and you need to give everything you have to the church because we're going to get ourselves together and we're going to be ready and we're going to this and that. And you have folks giving up life savings. I remember back in, I think it was in the 80s or early 90s, some charlatan told all these people that Jesus was coming. And they was all in their little white robes and, you know, and committed suicide. Another suicidal pact, waiting for Jesus to come on a certain day. But the word of God, that's why you got to read it yourself. Don't let somebody talk you into giving everything you got. Talk you into giving up your life for a man's lie. You know, that's just like Y2K. People lost their mind. Just like during this pandemic, folks have lost their mind. Garages full of toilet paper and all the things that other people might need that you hoarding. Come on now. The Lord God is in charge. But Jesus said it. As they say, it's the red letter in the Bible. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Even Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. Come on now. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be? For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. When then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's an arsenal word. The Lord is coming. Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He can come in the midnight hour. He can come at 3 in the morning. We don't know when he is coming. So you've got to be ready in and out of season. For you don't know when Jesus is coming. I don't know. And I can honestly say, I am not sure I'm ready. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not where I want to be. And I may not be where I need to be. Because I don't know. It's just me. I'm being honest. But I pray daily, Lord, help me to be ready. To be ready. Help me to be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength and my redeemer. We want to be acceptable in the sight of God. We want to be ready when Jesus comes. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master may rule over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says to his heart, my master is delayed his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnawing of teeth. You better understand, there's going to be a whole bunch of that's not going to be ready. Called in all kind of things. But we have to pray daily. Lord, remove flesh and increase your Holy Spirit in me. Help make me over, Father, that I may be worthy of your coming, that I will be like the wise servant, doing what I've been called to do and living the way I've been called to live. We got to keep trusting God and love. Love each other. Love is the key to everything. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I want everlasting life with the Savior. I want to be ready when he comes, whatever the hour. I want to be ready, even when he's not expected. So I thank you all. That's all I have this morning. If there's anyone that would like to speak, 394-33-3597, or if you're already on the line, just push the number 1 on your phone, and your line will be open. In the meantime, we're going to get a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, from Carolyn's Gift. And it is, as well, always a great word for this morning. And it's simply this. Good morning. Pray until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day, so never stop believing God can change things very quickly in your life. Have a meditating Monday. And again, it just fits with our lesson for this morning. And it just says, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And it goes on to tell us in her word this morning, never stop believing. God can change things very quickly in your life. And I have a couple of life lessons from Proverbs 7:2. Keep my commands and live in my law as the apple of your eye. How do we approach our time in Scripture? As a grinding duty to be completed as quickly as possible, or as a delightful opportunity to get to know God? David exclaimed on how I love the law, Psalms 119:97. And for our lesson and our word for this morning, Matthew 24:44, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Despite many attempts over the centuries to pinpoint the time of Jesus' return, God's word stands. Hour you do not expect, we are to remain in a perpetual state of readiness. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. And I just say it as well. We got to always be ready in and out of season, for we don't know when the Savior is coming. Just know he is. And for all the naysayers out there, I'm just telling you this. This particular thing bothered my spirit when I heard someone say that we lived in a fantasy world because we are Christians and because we believe in Jesus Christ, that we believe in the Holy Word of God. It bothered me. It irked my spirit. And then this morning when I was studying and getting ready for this lesson, this word just popped out at me, that God just said that even for all those people out there that don't believe, that when Jesus comes, he's coming, whether you're ready or not. What's the song? Ready or not, here I come. I'm going to find you. And ready or not, Jesus is coming back. And you can call us crazies. You can call us everything you want to call us. And I'm talking to the agnostics and atheists out there. But I tell you one thing. When Jesus comes and your little happy self are the gnawing and the gnashing, don't say that you were not warned, that you needed to get ready because Jesus is coming. Don't be upset when he comes in the clouds and you thought it was a fantasy, because he is coming, and he's coming in the clouds just like he said. And we better be ready. Thank you so much, family. I love you all. I appreciate you listening in, and I thank God for this opportunity to bring his word to each and every one of you, Sunday through Friday, and I thank God for the Saturday rest day. So thank you all. Be blessed, and as we say every time we're together, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus, that we will never forget that we must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour we do not expect. Just be ready, family, and know that his word is true, that our Father God will never leave us or forsake us, that he will always be with us. Just trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your understanding. Just acknowledge him in all that you do and watch him direct your path. Be blessed, family. Stay warm because it is cold today. Stay warm, stay safe, and stay in your word, for God's word is true. I love you all. Love you all. And as we say every time we're together, it's a wrap because we are always willing, ready, available, and presently praying for each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining us. Be blessed. It's a wrap.